A very special thanks to our $5 fans, Andrew Anker, Carl Nelson, Stephen Fox, David McCreath, Brendan Adkins, Lucius Kwok, Adam DeWitt, and Samantha Soma.
Today's Let's Make Mistakes is brought to you by the fine folks at Warby Parker.
Thanks, Warby Parker.
I like Warby Parker.
I do too. Have you purchased from them yet?
I have.
Have you?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Well, my son did. So I got glasses for my son.
Mm-hmm.
So we picked out five that he liked. And at some point, I'm guessing him and a combination of his friends will be having a fashion show with those five pairs. And then he'll tell me which ones he wants to get.
That's fun. I just ordered some sunglasses from them. So I have my five, but I have no idea which ones to choose.
Did you bring them in so we could try them?
Yeah. So I have the five of them. I have the sunglasses. I have the Preston, the Evelyn, the Mabel, which are the ones that look like grandma sunglasses, but like cool grandma sunglasses. The Ellison, which look like cool grandpa sunglasses. And then the Thatcher, which are kind of their like Wayfarer looking ones.
Cool.
Pretty excited about
them. Well, we'll be giving you a little bit more of a pitch on Warby Parker later in the show.
We will.
It's snowing.
Not here.
Not here, but it is snowing.
Yeah.
It is snowing in the land of web design.
Oh,
we have
no.
been snowed under. We are under about 30 feet of snow.
Are you talking about like the snow from like 15 years ago snow? What kind of snow are you talking about in web design?
I'm talking about snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what snowfall is.
Mm-hmm.
Snowfall was a groundbreaking article that was produced by the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a combination of like parallax and scrolling effects and multimedia and text and gorgeous photography.
Mm-hmm.
And every designer I know was just like, I got to do this a million times now. And every client was like, this is how I want my article pages to look.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to know something horrible?
What?
A deep secret.
What's your secret? Well, do I want to know what your secret is?
I've never read it.
Okay. All right.
I've never read it, and I don't think I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I showed it to a million people, and I never read it.
Yeah, because it's pretty, but...
It's gorgeous.
But you're just having fun scrolling.
Yeah.
Watching pictures.
Love
move.
Showing it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that might even be part of the majority.
Mm-hmm. I sure haven't read it.
You haven't read it?
No.
But you've looked at it.
Yeah. I mean,
you've scrolled through it.
Who hasn't?
Have you showed it to all your friends?
Well, no. But it's only because my friends have probably would probably look
your
at that.
Your friends
and be
already
like,
saw
I've
it.
Already seen it.
Yeah.
Sorry, friends.
But ever since Snowfall, Snowfall kind of changed how we deal with article design.
Mm-hmm.
And like today, this article on fanboys by The Verge was making the rounds on Twitter early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And again, it's the parallax and the scrolling effects and balloons popping up as I'm reading. And again, I scrolled all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
I even showed it to a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we've gone too far.
Oh, absolutely. We've gone too far.
I mean... Snowfall was kind of cool because it was kind of like it was like an experiment, like Like, we've planted the flag. Mm-hmm. Here's what we can do with article design now. Here's what we can do with the reading experience. Mm-hmm. Here's what we can do to make it more immersive and more interactive. And its descendants were plentiful.
Yeah.
And they multiplied upon the earth.
Mm-hmm. You know what it reminds me of is like early 3D movies where like they would have like that stupid like rubber ball and paddle and just like hit you in the face with a rubber ball. That's what it feels. That's what internet feels like to me right now.
I mean, and you know, I think there's a place for that. There's definitely a place for, like, I love seeing people experimenting with things.
Mm-hmm.
I love, so there's this grand period of experimentation and somebody takes it to its outer limit
mm-hmm.
and throws everything in the kitchen sink at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like eventually, like, things are taken from those experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And the general progression inches forward a little bit with mm-hmm. some of those things in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But a sense of normalcy has to return.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, the goal of an article is to be read. And I say the word read very carefully because nobody consumes words. But hold on a second, because, I mean, articles can also have videos in them.
Yeah.
I mean, so read or watched.
Yeah, sometimes like a mixed media is, yes.
But ultimately, it needs to be about the content.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's way too far over into the presentation at the sacrifice of the content, at the sacrifice of the reading experience or the watching experience. It's all, I mean, good design as a rule,
mm-hmm.
good design exists to aid understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that right now, design, at least in this context of article experiences that I'm seeing, is not aiding in understanding. It's getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that you come upon this with clients every so often when something cool and new, like Snowfall, happens. And then they're like, I want this.
Well, no, that's exactly what happened. We were actually in the middle of a redesign for a client where we were specifically redesigning their article pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we had a very nice redesign going, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was, here's your article. Here's, you know, here's text that's big enough to read. Here's, you know, a good amount of line spacing. And then Snowfall happened.
Mm-hmm.
That morning.
This sounds like a scandal. Like the Snowfall scandal.
Snowfall happened. And the conversation went from, this is looking great, we're very close to sign off, to, no, it needs to look just like Snowfall now.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I mean, like as a designer at that point, like my reaction to that comment was yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, because I wanted to design that. I wanted to design more things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's fun.
And yeah, you get caught up in it. You get all wrapped up in it. And you want to, I mean, you want to design to the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what was that, like 2 years?
When all the goofy scroll stuff started happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems about right. I think 2 years,
yeah.
Two and a half, like maybe two and some change is two. When... And fun stuff started happening.
And now it just feels like we've taken it to a crazier place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we've sacrificed the content that we're supposed to be designing around.
That seems like a trend in not just web design, but all kinds of design. That kind of pendulum swing of making things a little bit too crazy and then a little bit too simple like mobile design, weirdly, is at the other side of that spectrum right now, where everything is just too simple, like on iOS 7.
Yeah.
So web seems like it's on its way to the fun zone.
The conversation about iOS 7 is amazing to me. It's like, we hate this, and I can't believe all my apps haven't updated to it yet.
Yeah. Oh, that old keyboard is just so horrible looking now. I didn't even care about it. I don't actually care about it. But whenever I have an app that uses the old keyboard instead of the new keyboard, I'm just like, ugh.
So I use Tweetbot.
Yeah, I use Tweetbot.
For Twitter. And I bought the new one. Mm-hmm. It's a great app. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even mind that they wanted money for the new one. It's fine.
I confess that I don't have the new one. I have the old one.
Well, I tried the new one for about a week. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. It was just structurally very light. Mm-hmm. And it's like it was missing like a sense of place. Mm-hmm. It just felt like I were just running words across this page here.
Yeah, that's I feel like if I shake my phone, then all of the letters are going to fall off or something.
Yeah. And it's done within the language of iOS 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went back to the old one, and the old one just feels very comfortable and very familiar to me. Like that's Twitter as I see it, is in that old Tweetbot app.
But back to this goofy website scrolling thing. I actually read an article in the New York Times recently that had a little bit of fun, but wasn't too much fun. It was the... and I highly recommend it. It's the like 52 places to go in 2014 travel section. And they had these amazing like full width pictures. And when you would scroll down to a picture, it would start moving just a little bit. So it was actually like a very, very short video or animated image. But it would only animate for like 3 seconds. And then there was like a paragraph about that place, and you read it.
Yeah, I've seen some great examples.
Very understated, very nice, and like actually encourages you to read about that place because of the really pretty picture that then stops moving, and then you look at what's underneath it.
And I think as designers, we need to look at all of those things that are possible with scrolling effects and parallax as tools that we could use. But they all need to be in the service of aiding to understand content. Mm-hmm. And right now it feels like there's still a lot of, I want to do this. Give me words that I can put in this thing. Mm-hmm. Because it needs words, but mostly it's going to behave like this. Mm-hmm. And the behavior, the decisions about how something's going to behave come before the content. Mm-hmm. And a designer should never put structure before content.
Yeah, oh man, that's always it's a hard thing to solve right now because design is, and you know, I'm probably kicking myself for even saying this since we both have a design company, but design is like, it's kind of a very popular in thing to care about right now. Like a lot of the new startups know that design is important, and so they get fancy, well, inexperienced UI designers who can copy cool looking things off of Dribbble but don't actually know how to apply them correctly.
Right.
And content is kind of thrown by the wayside right now, which like, I don't know.
Every few years, I think every few years we rediscover that content is why people come to, or people use the things that we make, whether they're websites or apps.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a big lesson with, what was it? Like Groupon type services, when they learned about photography being really, really important and having like beautiful product shots, because people are way more likely to sign up for the weird dentist deal if there's like a really nice picture accompanying it instead of a stupid iPhone picture.
No, nobody ever woke up thinking, I need some parallax right now.
No. the parallax thing, I honestly think that that's going to, unless, well, here's what's going to happen, right, is that somebody is going to find an actual, like, cool, understated, useful application for it in web design. And then that's what people are going to do. And then the rest of the time, people are going to make jokey websites that are like, look at how 2014 this website looks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. How long have you been making websites, Mike?
Jesus. Since 96, 97, 98, I don't know. Yeah. Something like that.
That's around when I learned HTML. I learned HTML when I was in sixth grade. And the websites that I made were just beautiful. They had all those dividers. You know how, like, there would be websites, like, full of website graphics?
Oh, yeah.
Like, animated dividers, bullets, like, the bullet images.
So the animated divider with the construction guy?
Yeah.
It said under construction?
Oh, yeah. I had it.
Hell, yeah.
Of course. We all had it. Because it's fun.
Dude, I just put a counter on my website today.
Yeah, or like a counter.
Yeah, it counts. The number goes up when somebody comes to the site.
Yeah, it was so rad. You could do like the fun marquee text, mm-hmm. or like rainbow text. Gosh, blink tag. The actual snowflakes that you could make fall upon your website.
Yep.
So much fun. Did anybody find a use for that? No. And it died. And now it's a joke. Comic Sans? I don't know. So we can only hope that it's just going to go out of style, right?
Well, I don't want it to go out of style. I want to think that we're smarter than that. I want to think that we're not creatures of in style and out of style.
Yeah.
As much as we are creatures who expand our toolkit and keep our toolkits up to date, and you know, periodically throw things out and think of when it's appropriate to use these things, because I have seen some fantastic article layouts using some of these effects. Mm-hmm. Here's where I should insert examples. But so the New York Times has gone on to do some very interesting ones, like there was a story about a jockey that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. I'll look that up.
ESPN does this thing. They had a story about a boxer, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool. It's mm-hmm. I forget what the name of it. It's like an ESPN subgroup or something. I've seen appropriate uses of it. There's still a little bit on the heavy-handed side.
Have you ever entered the Konami code into British Vogue?
No. Right. What is? I don't even know what that means.
Like Vogue, the publication. It's the Vogue UK website. You can type the Konami code into it. You get a little treat.
So you just type the Konami code?
No. Are you familiar with the Konami code?
No.
Right?
What is the Konami code?
It's like up, up, down, down, left, right. Wait, yeah, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start. I think is what the Konami code is.
Where does that come from?
Konami, video game company.
I know the video game company. What
so
game?
You can enter the Konami code into Street Fighter, and then you get upgrade. You know, it makes your game fancier.
Oh.
So, and I think that was in several games, and so it's called the Konami code because if you do it right when the game starts, then you can have turbo power.
I remember there was a code in NBA Jam mm-hmm. that gave your players really big heads.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Love that stuff.
And there was one code that turned them into the Beastie Boys with really big heads.
That kind of silly stuff that's hidden, Easter egg silly stuff. Just the sillier, the better.
Yeah.
But default silliness is a little bit heavy-handed. I'm trying to think of iOS things that people just, I guess page curl is one where that, I don't know that that really withstood the test of time, at least for the
God.
Time being.
No, it was around for way longer than you remember it.
Really?
Still run into it every once in a while.
I guess page curl is still there, but not quite as much as it was before, right? So, people learn.
Which frames are those? The ones you have on now?
Which frames are these? These are Warby Parker's.
But which ones?
Which ones? Oh, God. Do I remember what they're called? I don't remember. They had some sort of a fancy, dapper name to them, like all Warby Parker glasses.
They all have names out of Downton Abbey characters.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I think that it's like, what, Palm Canyon Collection, Preston. Yeah, old person name.
Anyway, those are nice.
Yeah, thank you. They're pretty great. I, as I said earlier, I'm trying on the sunglasses right now since, you know, California's sunglasses season in January.
They're vintage inspired with a contemporary twist.
Exactly. Which is what we in San Francisco enjoy adorning our faces with.
But they're, you know, so their glasses, they start at $95.
Which is really good.
So those lenses have to be cheap.
Yeah. No. Isn't the lenses are included with that price, aren't they?
Yes. I was setting you up there. The lenses are not cheap. They're anti-reflective polycarbonate prescription lenses.
Oh, I thought you meant inexpensive, which is true. They're inexpensive, but not cheap.
The quality lenses.
Yeah. And I think Warby Parker does the thing where, what is it? YOLO, you know, buy a pair,
YOLO.
Give a pair. Yeah.
I don't think that's what YOLO means.
I don't know what YOLO means. I really don't. But if you buy a pair of Warby Parker glasses, I believe that they give a pair to a person in need.
That's true. They're partnered with nonprofits like Vision Spring. So that when you buy a pair of glasses, somebody who otherwise couldn't afford a pair of glasses gets a pair.
Yeah, and they're way better looking than those shoes that have the same kind of deal. What are those, Toms? They look like genie shoes.
I don't do those.
Warby Parker makes you look like a classy person.
And if you check out Warby Parker's Let's Make Mistakes page, that's warbyparker.com/mistakes, your glasses will start at $95, which is an awesome deal.
Fantastic.
And don't forget the Try at Home program, which is what Jesse's rocking right now.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
You pick out 5 frames that you like, they send them to you, and then for free. And then you tell them which ones you actually want. You send them all back, and they send you back the pair with the right prescription. And my favorite part was actually, and I'll be honest, the thing that kept me from trying Warby Parker for a while was I thought it was going to be a pain in the ass to talk to my optometrist to get that prescription.
Oh, no, they make it so easy.
They do it for you.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
They will contact your optometrist.
It's so wonderful. I hate
you. So don't let that be the thing that keeps you from trying it.
Try today.
What else is bothering you today, Jesse?
What else is bothering me today?
We went off on web design.
Mm-hmm.
We went off on Snowfall. We went off on fanboys, on that fanboy article.
Aren't we supposed to be positive?
I know.
2014?
We're supposed to be all positive.
Are you regretting your past decisions
now? No. I'm not regretting my past decision. I'm just finding that I need to consciously think about it all the time in order to stay there. And just because it's hard to do doesn't mean it was the wrong decision to make.
It's true.
It's just hard to do.
It is.
But ultimately, I think I'm going to be a happier person if I try to focus on some of the good stuff that's happening.
Yeah, tons of good stuff is happening, right? I just had a holiday day off yesterday. I had a 3-day weekend. Pretty happy about that.
Yeah, and I mean, just because you have a negative thought once in a while doesn't mean that you've fallen off the positive wagon. You can't stay on it all the time.
No, it's true.
It's a goal.
It's the bad times that make the good times better, right?
Yeah.
We're getting really cheesy.
We are getting so cheesy.
This is why being
positive
is hard.
Hang in there, Jesse.
I know. I'm sorry. I ruined it. I found this delight. I didn't really find it today. Have you ever been to the website whiterabbitexpress.com?
No, tell me about it.
For the people who live in San Francisco and are privileged, it's like one of those Postmates type things, but for Japan. So you
the
can,
what?
Postmates, it's a San Francisco startup where for $7.99, a person will bring you anything in an hour. This happened during Web 1.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's happening again.
Why?
Because it's pretty convenient.
Come on.
It's like a personal courier service, but it makes it so that you know, you can have your, well, this is not a use case that I use it for, but like you can get like a burrito from any anywhere in San Francisco and they'll bring it to you.
Jesse, you're never more than a block and a half away from a burrito in San Francisco.
I don't really live in a burrito neighborhood. I also haven't had a burrito in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, number one, I don't live near any burritos. Number two, I don't know. I guess I'm just.
But you go out.
I do. But not to burritos. I don't have anything against burritos. It's just a thing that I don't happen to eat very often.
All right.
I appreciate them for what they are. But White Rabbit Express is this weird website where you can order anything from Japan. And, like, you just tell them, like, a store in Japan and, like, somebody will go and buy it and then ship it to you. So you can get weird Japanese stuff.
We're all spoiled.
We are all spoiled. Yeah. One of the – this is about to get a little bit – less appropriate, but like I was browsing the website today because it's just like, oh, they have candy shaped like sushi and like a Hello Kitty hat. But then one of the things that you can buy in Japan is this like weird sex doll that comes in like a giant bag.
Yeah, I know.
But it looks, you know, it's one of those like vacuum sealed bags, so it's like this weird contorted person in a bag that looks dead.
Wait a minute, what kind of shape is the sex doll in?
She's like, well, they put her in like fetal position, but it's like a fully clothed doll thing.
I mean,
but she's like in this weird, like twisty, it looks like somebody killed her.
God, I'm going to have to spell it out.
And put her in a bag.
Do I have to inflate her?
No.
Okay, so she's fully formed.
She's fully formed.
What's she made of?
You just have to cut the bag
open. Why? I'm saying she. What's it made of?
I don't know, like rubber or something. No, here, I have a picture. Oh, God. Yeah, it honestly is horrifying.
Yeah, welcome to good radio. Jesse's about to show you a picture. Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait, that gets sent to you in the mail?
You can apparently order this from a website.
We need to put a link to this on the show page. Wait, that gets sent to you in the mail.
Yeah, Yusura, the circus performer and model, choreographer, aerial teacher, and registered member of Cirque du Soleil. So she has like a career and a backstory and like a side job.
I'm already creating a list of people I want to send that to.
Her special abilities include fire eating, trapeze, whip cracking, and candle wax.
Except I'm going to send it to their childhood
home. Her
blood
type is O. Like, it just has everything. What else do you want to know about
really?
Her? And then batteries not included. I don't know what the batteries are for. That's the part that confuses me.
Yes, you do.
I actually
You don't. Know what the batteries are for.
What are the batteries for? I don't know.
The batteries make certain parts of her move.
Oh, gross.
Well, you didn't know what the batteries were for. You were curious.
So yeah, I think I've ruined...
How much does that cost?
I have no idea. I don't really want... I just closed out of the website. I don't want to know. My computer's dying. Oh, it's gone now. Oh, too bad. So that's what I did today. That's what I spent most of my day...
Looking at that.
Shopping on a Japanese website. It's actually pretty cool. The rest of the stuff on it is neat. They have like...
Did you buy anything?
No, I didn't. They have like wasabi Pringles and cheesecake flavored pocky.
You can get wasabi Pringles?
Yeah.
That sounds
pretty actually
good.
Wasabi and mayonnaise flavored Pringles. I found it fun. What else? What
that
have
was
you
a
been?
Disturbing photo.
I'm sorry. That's just what I do for fun while I'm not working at work. What do you do?
I've been posting photos of infections on Jelly.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's so gross. I haven't. Yeah, I still haven't signed up for Jelly. Mike, are there any? Tell me. Maybe Pinterest and Jelly are not for you. What are the social networking websites that you use unironically?
Twitter.
Just Twitter? Use Instagram?
No. Okay. No. I stopped using Instagram when they did, when there was that whole hubbub about being able to use your phone. They changed their TOS so they were able to use your photos in their advertisements without telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've changed it since then, and I know a lot of people left and came back.
Mm-hmm.
I just never went back.
Mm.
At this point, like, I don't even think the original reason I left is still there, except mm-hmm. they're owned by Facebook, and I don't.
Yeah.
I don't trust Facebook.
Trust Facebook, but I still use it.
They're a little too loose.
Yeah.
With their respect towards people's stuff.
You know how you have, well, maybe not you. Maybe this is a young person thing to say, but sometimes they're just like friends that you don't trust. But you're still friends with them anyway, and you just don't tell them your
secrets.
No,
that's actually, so that's a magical thing that happens when you turn 40, Jesse.
Is you get rid of those ones.
Yeah, you realize what a terrible waste of time that is. And
know,
you stop talking to all those people, and you're instantly happier.
Okay, well, what about like the family members that you don't like that much? So you kind of are obligated to be around that. You don't know. Yeah. You know, everybody has like that uncle or cousin where it's just like, I don't ever want to like go on a road trip with you.
That would be everyone in my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love my family. I know exactly what distance I need to keep them at to mm-hmm. keep loving them.
Yeah. So it doesn't make me a bad person that I use Facebook and I just...
No, it's just using Facebook just makes you somebody that uses Facebook.
Yeah, I'm definitely a person who uses Facebook. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. You know, I have an account.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a soldier. I make, you know, web interfaces for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be stupid of me to say I'm never going on there.
Yeah.
Because I need to see what they're doing. And they do some really interesting things. They do some really interesting UI things.
They have a team of incredibly talented designers, a lot of whom I respect.
There's some incredibly talented people over there.
Yeah.
And they're doing some very talented stuff, very interesting stuff.
A lot of silly stuff too.
Yeah. And that's fine. I have nothing against silly stuff. I think the web and all of us in general could use a lot more silly in our lives.
Yeah. Something that surprised, actually, I was kind of anti-Facebook, maybe. But that app Lulu, are you familiar with Lulu?
I don't know Lulu.
Lulu is an application where you rate guys, like guys that you've been on dates with, on like things like, did they pay for dinner? Were they a one-night stand? Were they rude? Blah, blah, blah. You give them a score and hashtags.
Uh-huh.
And you can only sign up with it through Facebook. And you can only sign up for it if you're a lady. And for guys, it's opt-out only. So you're automatically opted in unless you email them and ask them to take your account down.
So how would you feel about that app if the roles were reversed?
Horrible. It's both ways, it's
okay.
Horrible.
So you feel horrible about both ways.
Yeah. Like, I think that it's maybe because it's men, it's a little bit funny because it's targeted towards them, but it's absolutely despicable.
I am so far away from that world
mm-hmm.
and hope to never enter it again.
I'm seeing if you're on it.
Really?
Oh, it doesn't say. Oh, are we Facebook friends? I don't know. It has to be your friends, I think.
I thought we were. I don't know. So I actually launched it today because I had to look at something and I had like, I don't know, like 100 and some friend requests.
Mm-hmm.
So I never look at that.
Yeah, but actually I'm just going to show this to you right now. I'm sorry for our listeners. Look up Lulu on the internet. But that's what it looks like, is that there's just all of like your guy friends and it has ratings and it feels really creepy. And yeah, if this were women, I think that they would have been shut down by now.
So these are all people that you know?
Those are all people that I know.
Oh, here's someone.
They did not opt into this application. Most of them probably don't even know that they're on it. Because I don't understand how Facebook's terms of service lets people be a part of a social network that they're not allowed to access. Because that's the whole thing, is that like you might be on there, but you wouldn't be able to access the application.
Well, hey, there's Clarko.
I already showed him.
Really? Wow. His score is lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Jeez. Whoa. Ed Casey has a higher score than Clarko.
Ed Casey is on there.
Also, Ed Casey, hashtag teddy bear.
This feels unethical right now.
Probably.
I
mean, this is the thing that drives me nuts about Facebook, is that they have absolutely no regard towards the stuff that people are putting on there, and they've got an incredibly young user base.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about you and your friends. I'm talking about like teenagers mm-hmm. who are putting like the most intimate information on there. And it's information that they even very carefully try to control. Mm-hmm. Like my friends can see this about me mm-hmm. and my parents can't. And, you know, these people can see these things about me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm, you know, posting something friends only, my parents can't see it. Mm-hmm. So I might post some intimate things that I'm not ready for them to know.
Yeah.
And then Facebook comes along and decides, well, we're going to change all, we're going to wipe down those privacy settings. Mm-hmm. And this actually happened.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
This Facebook has happened multiple times. And all of a sudden, your parents find out things about you that you did not want them to know. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm of the opinion that anything that you put on the internet is mm-hmm. on the internet. Mm-hmm. And somebody will see it at some point.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, but I'm not 17.
Yeah, big diff. Now, I heard one of my friends has a 6-year-old. And I guess in school right now, they teach internet safety.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's necessary.
Who's it being taught by, though?
I don't know. But from what I understand is that the internet safety is, like, very, very, like, so cautionary. Like, a little bit over what it probably needs to be. It's a very, like, you put something on the internet and everything is there forever and everybody can see it. Always.
Yeah, but you know why it has to be so cautionary?
Because
parents.
Yeah.
So I imagine if my kid was taking an internet safety class mm-hmm. and whoever was teaching it was being a little loose with stuff mm-hmm. and saying, yeah, it's okay to put your home address on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, something happened and I'm like, well, who told you could put your home address on the internet? My teacher.
Yeah. So then the teachers, it's the teacher's fault.
Right. There's a problem right
there. Identity has been stolen and that everybody's kidnapped. Yeah. It's interesting because it's kind of a mentality that I've usually run into with like older folks. I used to work at the Apple store and often the people who are more concerned with internet privacy were the older generation, specifically the ones with not as much technical skills under their belt.
Right.
So, like, there would be people who were just afraid of buying anything online because
right.
you're not supposed to put your credit card anywhere on the internet, and a purchase website counts as the internet.
Now, how long ago did you work at the Apple store?
Now, I guess it was, sounds like it was like 7 years ago.
I wonder.
7 to 9 years ago.
I wonder if that's shifted at all.
Perhaps. I'm sure it has shifted a little
because,
bit.
Because, I mean, used to be, like, old people didn't use computers.
Yeah.
And now, like, if I'm flying or something, I see, like, senior citizens with iPads, like, almost all of them.
Yeah, that's, I was around for iPhones and started seeing the beginning of kind of everybody having right. iPhones because I would teach, like, group classes there. And a lot of the people who would come out to the group classes on how to use your iPhone were older people, which was so delightful. Because that was kind of the cross-section of, like, accepting of weird new technology, but still green at it. But I'm wondering, because I have kind of a different mentality, which is that I don't know if it's, like, the millennial in me, but I'm a little bit more loose with stuff on the internet, a little bit. I don't have, like, pictures of myself, like, doing keg stands, well, because I've never done one before. But I think that there is kind of that mentality of, like,
Darth?
Oh, God. But you know when it's like, oh, if you have a picture of yourself drinking, then you'll never be elected president. And I'm a little bit of the mentality that in the future, everybody's going to have, like, silly pictures like that. And then it's not going to matter anymore.
So, I mean, I hire people. Mm-hmm. And when I hire people, of course I go looking. I look for them across, you know, all these social networks.
Oh, you got to go to MySpace. That's the best place to look for people.
Yeah, so the awesome thing about MySpace
is that everybody forgot.
Everybody lost their password.
Yeah.
And they can't delete their photos now.
No.
So all the 25-year-olds who are looking for jobs who had MySpace accounts 8 years ago, their shit's still there.
Everything is still there. It's been perfectly preserved.
But you know what? Fantastic. You know what I worry about? What sets a red flag for me is when I go looking through these social networks and I see nothing.
Yeah.
Either no social network activity, or it's sparkly clean. Mm-hmm. Like they've gone in and they've made sure to delete everything.
Yeah, it's not realistic looking.
Right.
So that's kind of my deal. It's like if you went to college and there is not one picture of you, like at a party,
right,
with people, then it's like, are you a recluse? Why don't you have any friends?
Well, what that tells me is that you went through and you cleaned up your account. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, well, what did you delete?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. That was just kind of...
Just how bad was it?
Tangential thought about internet security.
Yeah.
What else can I contribute to this podcast today?
I think you should contribute a goodbye.
All right. Well, Mike, it was lovely.
It was lovely. It's always a joy to come in here every week and talk to you, Jesse.
It's always great to watch you across the table from my Warby Parker glasses.
Which you look great in.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Warby Parker for sponsoring today's show.
Thank you, Warby Parker.
And I want to thank them for the glasses.
All the better to see your beard with.
And if you enjoy our show, which we hope you do, please remember to go to tugboatyards.com/mistakes. Where you can be a $5 fan and help us to keep making a fun podcast.
If you don't enjoy our show, maybe you should not have listened to this entire episode.
There you go.
That's
the kind of quality service that we like to give our listeners.
But we do encourage you to write us at mistakes@mealradio.net and always give your feedback. We get a lot of cool feedback emails. I like those emails.
Yeah,
a lot.
I love reading those.
Yeah.
And if you have any ideas for guests in the future, please feel free to drop us a line and let us know. We'd love to hear about them. We are tired of talking to the same people over and over, and we know too many of the same people.
That's true. I don't like anybody anymore.
I want to see who else is out there in the world doing interesting things.
I bet there are a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm bored with San Francisco.
Who isn't? Not me. I still love it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Thanks, everybody.